And so, so how many years were you a full-time in full-time ministry?
Well, 40 plus.
40 plus.
Yeah, 45.
Awesome. So he's going to share with us today. I was actually supposed to preach today, and I just didn't think I could do that with everything that I've been through this last week. And so I appreciate everyone's encouragement to me. I have a whole stack of cards at home, and many of you have encouraged us. Some of the church members came down to the funeral, and so I was very thankful for that. I would have loved to have preached today, but I probably wouldn't have been able to say anything. So I appreciate you stepping in and excited to hear what you have to share with us today about fathers. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ted, and it is always a great honor to step into this pulpit, to open the Word of God, and to minister to you. And I'm very thankful for all of my fellow pastors who have arrived at the same stage of life that I have arrived at as it relates to ministry, and it's a great time. So when Pastor Mark called me and said, can you change from the 26th or the 23rd to the 16th, and I said, well, I don't have anything else to do but preach, and so I can move very nicely to the 16th. When I came in this morning, someone just sort of tugged on my jacket and said, now, you're not going to be too hard on fathers today. And I said, of course not. I have been at this business of preaching on Father's Day for a long time. And I grew up and I came out of a strong revivalistic kind of church. And do you understand what that meant? It meant that when you preached on Mother's Day, you assumed that every mother was backslidden and it was your business to get them in line. And when it came to Father's Day, you assumed that every father's father was backslidden and it was your business to get them in line. And then after doing that for several years, my dear wife said, well, how do you think that's working out for you? And, you know, half the ladies either were glad or mad when they left that day, and it was so with the fathers. One of the things that has transpired in recent days that many of our pastors have given up on preaching on Mother's Day or Father's Day as it relates to either mothers or fathers or family life in general. There's just too many heartbroken mothers. There's just too many heartbroken fathers. And there's just so much confusion going on in the family that I'm just going to continue with my general course of preaching through a book, and we give a nod to mothers or we give a nod to fathers, and we go on our way. Well, it's always good when we preach the Word of God, but what a great opportunity when we come to such a day as Father's Day to be of tremendous encouragement to fathers today and to our families in general. And if we do that, we will bless all who are gathered to hear the Word of God. Today I'm going to be working on a motif that flows out of the pages of Scripture, particularly prominent in the life of the Apostle Paul, but it shows up also in the lives of other apostles, and particularly Peter. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to look at three transformative events in the life of Peter, relate those to fathers, and endeavor to show you how they work their way in to the book of 1 Peter. You would say, oh, that seems quite drawn out and complicated. I guarantee you this morning when you leave, everyone from the youngest to the very oldest will be able to repeat my outline back to anyone they meet. For it is an outline that flows from the text of Scripture, and you will begin to realize it very quickly. With your Bibles this morning, go with me to the Gospel of John. I want to read at one of those transformative events from the life of Peter, which I believe changed his life forever. You would say, well, he met Christ. He was under Christ's teaching. Is not that transformational? Yes, it is. And this is one of the events. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and the 15th verse. This will be one of three transformational events that I will draw your attention to this morning. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. Pray with me. Father, we thank you today for the wonderful privilege of opening the Word of God. And our prayer today is that we might be of great encouragement to fathers and to all of the Jamestown family. We thank you today for the wonderful hope that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. The last song which we sang, our hearts cried out for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely we would say with the Apostle John, Even so come quickly. Father, today I pray for Pastor Sean and the team as they are in Alaska. We pray that you might strengthen their hands for the work of the ministry. We pray that they might not only accomplish physical things, but they might accomplish spiritual things. And may the result of even their ministry, some come to know Christ and others greatly helped in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as we open the Word of God, give to us receptive hearts. May you cause us to think soberly upon that which we find in the pages of the Word of God. And may our lives be conformed to that which we find there. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Pastor Ted started this off with a little interview, wanted to know how long I had been in pastoral ministry, and I wasn't quite sure what he was going to ask me. But today is sort of an anniversary for me. I have now been a father for a half century. For 50 years. And I will get a telephone call from a daughter today who will say, Happy Father's Day. And she was born just over 50 years ago. Well, when Father's Day comes, every year, without fail, I am asked a question. And the question goes like this: what do you want for Father's Day? And I assume that perhaps a question like that was asked at your house. How many men heard that question this week? Yeah, several are around. What do you want for Father's Day? And the question is asked because they want to get something that will be useful and that you will enjoy, and they want to honor Dad on Father's Day. Another variation of that question might be, what do you want for lunch on Father's Day? Now, that one's much more easier to ask, answer, because you get to pick it out. Those are all good questions. They're meant to appreciate Father and honor Father, and they are good inquiries, and generally the motivation is good and sound. But I want to change that question just slightly and ask it in a different way. Today, what do you want for Father? What do you want for Father? If you could give anything that your heart's desire, what would you give to Father's today? What would you give to Dad's today? You might say, well, I would like to give them the gift of happiness, or I would like to give them the gift of health, or I would like to give them the gift of fulfillment. And those would all be good things, wouldn't they? Everyone wants Dad to be happy. And for some who are struggling with health issues, surely the gift of health would be a great gift. And the gift of fulfillment, everyone wants to have that sense of fulfillment. But I would like to go a little deeper and ask a question. What would you want for dads, for fathers, spiritually today? Or to change it up a little bit differently, I might say, Dad, what do you want spiritually for yourself today? What do you want spiritually for Dad today? What do you want spiritually for your husband? What do you want spiritually for dads today? The Apostle Peter had several transformative experiences. And I want to take those transformative experiences and show that they provide for us some pillars that just hold up and lift up this whole idea of fatherhood and that of being good dads. What do we want for fathers today? What would we want as a church for fathers? Go with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and we look at another transformative experience in the life of Peter, and it gives to us the first pillar that supports and holds up men and fathers and enables them to be what God ultimately would want them to be. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, the Lord Jesus Christ is moving towards the cross. They are in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in chapter 22 and verse 31, Peter comes face to face with what is going to be one of the most transformative events in his life. And we read in the 31st verse, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Satan has desired you, and he is going to sift your faith, and we're going to find out whether it's real or genuine. And the first pillar that I want to suggest to you that comes out of this text and perhaps others is the pillar of faith. You recall in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, the Lord had said to Peter, Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so it goes without saying that Peter was a man of faith. And in this text, his faith is going to be tested. I am sure that we would all agree that we want fathers to be men of faith. That would be good, wouldn't it? For fathers to be men of faith. And then as you look down that 22nd chapter, you come to verse 62. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. One of the times of great transformation in the lives of men is often when there comes a crisis time and their hearts are broken by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and they go out and they weep bitterly, and from that point on, they are forever changed. I've seen it time and time again when a crisis has come into the life of a father or a dad, and their faith has been challenged, and God has done a great work in their lives. Now, how does this all work out in the life of Peter? The Lord says to him, Satan desires to have you, that he can sift your faith. Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly, and there is repentance going on in his life. Now take your Bible and go with me to the book of 1 Peter, and you begin to see how this works out. You have moved down the course of a number of years, and Peter now has become an individual of mature faith. Now we start with a very long verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, running all of the way through verse 5 or beyond, and I want to pick it up in the middle of that sentence. Peter writes, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through what? Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Peter says, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Look at chapter 1 and verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Was Peter's faith tested by fire? Yeah. And he says it's more precious than gold. Look at chapter 1 and verse 21. Who through him believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And then you go over to chapter 5, and Peter is still talking about this business of faith. And you see, remember back in chapter 22, the Lord says to him, Peter, Satan has desired you so that he can sift your faith. Now look at what he writes in chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in the, talk to me, in the faith. That's it. Resist strong, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Peter's faith is tested. It's found to be genuine and real. And so when he picks up his pen to write in the little book of 1 Peter, faith just comes flowing from his pen. So, how do fathers become individuals of that kind of faith? Well, we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know the wonderful truth that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now go back with me to that first chapter. Who, through him, believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Peter says, Christ died, he was buried, he rose again. And when you believe that, you become a person of faith, and your faith and hope is in God. You see, you become a person of faith by trusting Christ as your Savior, by placing your faith and trust in him. Christ died for you. He paid the price of your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And those who believe that with all of their being come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they have received Christ Jesus the Lord, they continue to walk in that same way by faith. And so Peter became a man of faith. And you see this pillar of faith. Oh, my heart's desire is that our churches in Jamestown might be filled with men of faith that will enable them to be good fathers, to be a blessing to their wife and to their family, or whatever their situation may be. So the first one is the pillar of faith. That's pretty easy to remember, right? The pillar of faith. Now, take your Bible and go with me to the book of Acts. And you see another transformative experience in the life of Peter. The book of Acts and chapter 12. And you will recognize it when you get there, because if I recall correctly, Pastor Sean preached upon this passage of Scripture. But I want to come back to it because it is another transformative event in the life of Peter that gives to us a supporting pillar to make us the men, the fathers that God would have us to be. Now notice with me in chapter 12, and we'll begin at verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." I probably would have tied my shoes pretty quick and got that garment wrapped on pretty quick. But this text in verse 6 has something that has always just been amazing to me. Verse 6, "And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping." Just sleeping. Man, how could he do that? he was sleeping. And I want to suggest out of this text of Scripture, you have that great pillar of hope. And here is one other one of those transformational experience in the life of Peter's. Peter's prison was a place of hope. From all human perspective, it looked hopeless. But I want to say to you with a great amount of confidence, Peter slept in hope. He went to sleep and he was saying, "I don't know how this is going to work out, but my Savior does." You say, what would give you such confidence to say that? Do you remember the little text which we read at the beginning of the hour in John chapter 21? "Peter, do you love me?" And that conversation follows up. And he said, "Peter, follow me. You're young, and you get up and you get dressed and you tie your shoes on. But when you are what? Old, someone else is going to dress you and tie your sandals up and lead you out where you don't know." So Peter knew from that conversation from the Lord that he was going to be an old man. "Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but you do." And his prison cell becomes a place of hope. Hope teaches us never to doubt in the dark what we know to be true in the light. And Peter wonderfully illustrates that truth. And so he goes to sleep. "Lord, you said I'm going to get to be an old man. I don't know how this is going to work out, but my hope is in the word of my Lord." And so he goes to sleep. And the Lord wonderfully delivers him. Now, go with me now back to the little book of 1 Peter. And how does this flesh itself out in the life of the Apostle Peter? Pick it up with me in chapter 1 and verse 3 as we look at this outflow of his pen once again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, He has begotten us again to a living what? Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Look at verse 13, same first chapter. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your what? Hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Drop down to me verse 21, which we have already read. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Go with me over to chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter writes, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the what? Hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And so, flowing from the pen of Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, comes this note of hope. He had wonderfully went to sleep in hope. He woke up with the deliverance of his Savior, never doubting in the dark what he knew to be true in the light. Now, let's see how astute you are. I have great confidence in you. The first pillar that we looked at is the pillar of faith, and we agreed that we all want our fathers to be men of faith, right? Would you agree with me that we want them to be men and fathers of hope? Yeah. Now, what do you think that third pillar is? What? Love. Yeah, there's the common motif that flows often through the pages of the New Testament. We want our men of Jamestown to be men of faith, knowing Christ, loving Christ, looking to Him, men of faith, men of hope, not doubting in the dark. And there are dark days, right, fathers? Yeah, there are dark days, difficult days, but never doubting in the dark what they know to be true in the light. Now go back with me. We read that passage in John chapter 21, and I want you to go back to that text, and I want to look at it briefly, and I want you to see how this works out once again in the life of Peter and how it flows from his pen in the book of 1 Peter. You have the what I call the pillar of love. In John 21, you have Peter's, or the confession of Peter. Three times the Lord asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? This is a confession of affection. We who are Bible believers ought to have the great truths of the Word of God down in our heart and mind so that we know the great facts of the gospel. They ought to affect our emotional well-being. We belong to Christ, and He belongs to us, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And then the third one, our affection. Do we really love the Lord Jesus? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Hey, I like that. Now, as you begin reading John chapter 21, Peter says, guys, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to the old life that I knew. I'm going fishing. That affection for the old life needed to be dispensed with once and for all. And there was only one thing that could get rid of that old life once and for all. It was the powerful affection of love for the Savior. That becomes powerful. What is it that expels our tendency to want to be enamored with this world? To somehow love the world. It's got to be a deeper and more powerful affection. And that affection must be our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. And as a result of this, I'm going to give up all of the follies of sin. Peter, do you love me? And his life is forever changed by that confession. A confession of affection. I'm getting awful close here, aren't I? And it changed his life. And you see that confession just flowing out of Peter's pen as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Take your Bible and go with me to the book of 1 Peter. And now you're going to see that. If I said to you, tell me who the apostle of love is, who would you say? John, right? He's known as that disciple that Jesus loved, and John writes a great deal in his epistles about love. And I don't have any argument or quarrel with that. But I want you to see something that flows from Peter's pen. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Now get ready to go, because this is an extended go at the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 1. And verse 8, Peter writes, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you receive with joy inexpressible and full of glory, and receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You haven't seen him, Peter says, but you love him. Look at chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere, what? Love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Look at chapter 2 and verse 17. And you see it once again. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. Chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Chapter 3 and verse 10. For he who would love life. Chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Chapter 5 and verse 14. I'm not sure how to apply this or what application to make, but greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. In every chapter of the book of 1 Peter, you find this note of love. How did that all take place? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And it works its way out in the life of Peter, and you see it flowing smoothly, gently from his pen as he writes to these Peter. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. So, what do you want for fathers today? Well, by the grace of God, men of faith, right? Having trusted Christ as Savior, living by faith to the glory of God. By God's grace, we want men of hope. Not doubting in the dark what they know to be true in the light. Beacons of hope for their families. Do wives ever become discouraged? Maybe a bit downhearted? Do teenagers or children ever wonder what's going on in this world? And, yep, they do. And what do they need? They need a beacon of hope that they find in Dad. By the grace of God, we want men of love. Vertically, in love with Christ. Horizontally, in love with their wives and their children. A love for all of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Fathers of faith, fathers of hope, fathers of love will bless their families and advance the cause of Christ. Amen? Now, you think you can remember that outline? Yeah, men of faith, men of hope, men of love. That's what we ask for the men, for the fathers, for the dads of Jamestown. Pray with me. Father, thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can be men of faith by simply trusting Christ as Savior and then living by faith. We thank you that we can have hope continually via the promises of our God. And we thank you that we can be men of love, men of deep affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, my prayer today for the men of Jamestown is that they might be men of faith, men of hope, and men of love. Work that kind of work in each of our hearts so that we might bless our family, we might bless our church, we might bless a world that needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I would say to you this morning as I leave the platform, there will always be two notes in my preaching. I never assume that everybody who comes into this auditorium on a given Sunday morning knows Christ as Savior. You may be here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. I would love nothing better than to take the Bible and show you how you might trust Christ as your Savior and become a man of faith. And then the second part of that is I always want to be encouraging and edifying the people of God. And perhaps one of those areas you struggle in and you need someone to pray with you and encourage you. We're here for that purpose also. But if you need to trust Christ, you need some help in one of these areas, come see Pastor Ted. Come see me. Come see one of these retired pastors that are around. They would be delighted to help you. What do we want for the fathers of Jamestown? We want them to be men of faith and men of amen. God bless.
Let's stand together.